We were invited to join Brother Vanstone, Ross Vanstone, who was a farmer then, but he's out in the work of the Lord, in our midst tonight. And he's preaching the gospel, doing missionary work in the Panama, and he's going to join Brother Kyle that we have been hearing about in a series of gospel meetings in Carlton Hall. Trust that God will come in and bless. But I joined Brother Vanstone, that is more than 15 years ago, and it was in the third week of the tent meetings. There weren't so many coming out. A few of our own relatives were coming out in the city of Crystal City, Manitoba. But it was in the third week on a Friday night that three Hutterite ladies came into the tent. Heard about Hutterites? Never seen one? You probably haven't seen any. But if you come with me to Deep Cove tomorrow or Sunday, Lord's Day, we'll break bread and be there for the ministry, and we'll meet a number of Hutterites that have moved. Dave Smith has been working the area of Brandon, visiting, and he's been successful in bringing them away from Manitoba to Deep Cove. God bless you, brother, for doing so. But anyhow, it was on that Friday night that these three ladies came in, and you could tell by their dress. Very modest dress they had. But before the last hymn was sung, they went out, and I was quite disappointed, and I'm sure my brother Vanstone was disappointed too. But you know, the scripture says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Sunday night, they were back again. They must have been influenced by what they heard in the tent. And they brought along four others. And one of the four was the minister. Now, the minister on any colony, a colony exists from anywhere from 60 to 100 or 120 individuals, men, women, and children. The minister is the number one person. He says jump and you say how high. It's really, he has control on the colony. But anyhow, it was after the meeting then they didn't leave. And they came to us and they asked us if we would come on the colony and bring that message. Or do you only speak amongst your own people? No, it says we'll go anywhere. And so he says, would you come? I says, we'll be there tomorrow. That'll be Monday morning. Well, he says, you're not wasting much time, are you? I says, no, because by Wednesday, you may change your mind. We'll be there tomorrow. Bring your family. My wife was living at the time and our five children. And we sat down and the ladies on one side and the men on the other side. And we were at the table with the minister. And of course, at the close of the meal, as usual, prayer is offered. But this time he rapped on the plate and he says, we have visitors as we have had before. And he says, this is a little different type. They're having tent meetings in Crystal City. And I'd like him to give us a little word from the Bible. Now, if you're on a colony where there's 85 to 100 people, and you don't know that you're going to be back again, you're not going to speak on election, are you, though? Or on the rapture. That's not the message. There's the message for the world and for the Hutterites. And so we took up John chapter 3. 5 or 7 minutes on each point. So like some of our Scotch brethren with their alliteration, I had that one that day too. First of all, the must of the sinner. The must of the Savior and the must of the saints. The must of the sinner, you must be born again. That's what the colonies need. Anyhow, we spent about 15, 20 minutes and went back after the meetings were over back to northern BC. But any time I was in the area, I always went into that colony because the minister, that's the only way you can come on a colony. There's no use taking a bundle of tracts And going from door to door, they'll just say, well, there's the minister's house. And you come there, it says, we have our own religion, and it's all over in 5 minutes. But if someone on the colony, which is to them private, and invites you to come, the minister really cannot stop it. And so we went back and we visited this man. But about the Hutterites, it dates back to 460 years ago in the time of the Reformation. You remember when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg, Germany, and people began to read in the vernacular language, the German language, what the Roman Catholic system was teaching and propagating. And what the gospel now that Luther was preaching, the just shall live by faith, he had it down, 95 theses. At the same time, there was the inventing of the printing press. Many of these German businessmen became Christians, and they used a lot of their money to spread the gospel by tract and paperwork. And so at the same time when Martin Luther came out, they were called reformers, Zwingli's another, and later on John Knox of Scotland and others, John Calvin of Geneva. And here we find them spreading the gospel. But they were called reformers because Martin Luther were those that were now coming to know Christ in a very individual and personal way, the just shall live by faith and not by works. They were called reformers because they wanted change within the system. But a system of law and grace never works. Oil and water don't mix. And so they find themselves gradually outside of the system. And then little groups were formed and teachers were raised up and the gospel was preached. And then alongside of these reformers, there was what is called the Anabaptists. Now, John Calvin and Zwingli and Martin Luther didn't leave everything, all the baggage behind. They carried on infant baptism and other clerical things, but not the Anabaptists, the rebaptized one. They believe the system is wrong from the bottom to the top. And they believed in salvation by grace and baptism by immersion. Listen, after 460 years, you go to any colony on the prairies, and there are hundreds of them. We have no less than 103 in the province of Manitoba. I don't think we're into more than about 40 of them, but I believe the gospel has penetrated to most of them. Jack Gould is very helpful along this line. He has just covered every colony in Manitoba with a special text. Brother Earl Ritchie has helped along that line. He's got a nice text that is put into a nice frame, and he's covering, given three to every colony. Brother Peter Smith, the PBS work, I think of the more than 1,000 young people, boys and girls and teenagers, that are taking the courses. I think maybe two-thirds of them are from Hutterite colonies. This is inroads into the system. This is ways of getting into the home. I mentioned Brother Dave Smith. He has been out in the Brandon area and in two colonies there, and some of them have been recently saved, and others are going to be leaving the colony. In fact, at your conference, there are two young people that just recently left one of the colonies near Brandon. And so the gospel has spread. But like I say, they were persecuted in Austria, and they moved into Russia again under the Tsars. They were persecuted, and they moved to Argentina and other Latin American countries. But they found that the ground was not suitable for growth, and they're very energetic, they're farmers. And so they moved into the United States, settling mostly in North and South Dakota. But they were approached because they believe, one of the main points is, they're pacifists. They don't want their boys and men to go into the armed services. And so they were approached. They weren't persecuted physically, but they were approached to the point that a delegation went up into Canada, representative of different colonies in the States, and asked the Canadian government, can we settle in this country that we might have our own religious freedom and we're pacifists, our boys don't go into the armed services. Canada being a small country, we invite immigrants in to build up. We're only 31 million at the present time. And so many have come into Canada. And then, of course, now where do we come in at this picture? After my wife passed away in 92 and 94, we moved as a family to Manitoba. Two things happened that was very encouraging. In the first 4 weeks, two of my youngest daughters both professed to be saved without any special meetings, just God dealing with them in the riches of His grace. We say sometimes, what can equal joy divine, or what can sweeter be than knowing that your soul is saved? If you're here today and you're not saved, knowing that your soul is saved for all eternity, what a joy it is to have our own family, relatives coming to Christ. And about 4 or 5 weeks after we settled in Manitoba and went up in the Portage area, I got a phone call from one of the Hutterite girls, the three that were, first of all, in those tent meetings. Evidently, God spoke to her heart at that time. And two of the three have professed faith in Christ, unknown to Brother Ross Vanstone and myself. We don't always know who comes to Christ, but we would like to know, because there's more to Christian experience than just being saved and knowing you're going to heaven. There's ministry, there's doctrine, there's teaching necessary, and fellowship. Time out for a drink. And so Marlene Gross phoned, hearing we're in the area, and she said, would you come over? I've got something nice to tell you. Well, we didn't know, Ross or I, in those 4 years, that she had already been saved with her sister. I says, does your husband know about the invitation? Because the patriarchal headship is very important among the Germans. Yes, he's well aware of it. So I went over there and I found out, to our joy, that she had trusted Christ earlier. So we made arrangements to have a Bible study. Remember now, we're not going from door to door with tracts. We wouldn't get to first base. But here's a lady inside of the colony inviting us inside. That's private. They can't stop that. So we carried on for about 3 months, and it was in the month of February. And of course, in Manitoba, there's still snow on the ground there. And so I was speaking to about 12 or 13 young men. It's awful nice, you know, when you have a ready-made audience. I took a brother called Paul Jaddick from the Brandon Assembly. And he says, you know, Andrew, I'd love to come along sometime with you to visit a colony. I says, are you free tonight? I says, I'm going to the Boundary Lane Colony on the borders of Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Oh, his wife says, take the chance. So we went. Started about 7:30. We know the time. 10 o'clock is, 9:30 is coffee time, and 3 o'clock is tea time. 7:30, everything is over. Nothing to do after that. They come to their homes. Remember, they work together, they worship together, they do everything together, but then they live as a family in their own residence on the colony. And so we got there, and about 10 o'clock he was looking at his watch, and I says, what are you doing, Paul? Well, he says, these people get up at 6 in the morning and 7 and 8, they're ready for work. I says, yeah, but they're not wanting to go to bed, just look at them listening. 2 o'clock in the morning, we left the colony to go home. Next morning, his wife said to me, says, my husband will never go with you again. I says, no, he'll not go, but you'll go with me. And I says, you'll be cured in one visit. Just imagine getting 10 or 12 people listening to the gospel. And I mean good ground listeners they are. And so anyhow, I was working away. It was just through question and answers. And then came a man and says, Mr. Berksma, he says, the minister wants to see you. Now we've been having 3 months of meetings once a week, just cottage meetings. So I thought I was going to be in for it today, tonight. But anyhow, we followed him out, and I thought it's just he and I going to the minister's house. But would you guess it, those 10 or 12 men, they didn't want to miss out on the confrontation, so they all wandered with us to the minister's house. And there we sat. So I went over to this bearded man. All men that get to the age where they can grow a beard, and especially if they're married, they must wear a beard. All the women are veiled all the time. So out of friendliness, I went over to shake his hand. Oh, no, he says, I'm not shaking hands with you. So I says, I went and sat down. I thought, well, now, Andrew, you just keep quiet now. And you just answer their question. Now, that's pretty hard for a person like ourselves to keep quiet. And so the first question was, he says, this colony doesn't need two ministers. He's the minister, and I've become the assistant pastor. Well, I thought, well, that's nothing to go on. I just kept quiet. That's psychologically very good, because then the atmosphere begins to rise. The tension exists. Then people are keen to hear. But I answer the next question. He says, sir, he says, and I don't like people coming in by the side door, sneaking on the colony. I says, I will answer that one, sir. Paul said what he did wasn't done in a corner. I says, you were very well aware that I've been on this colony for a number of weeks. And I'm in that home of the Grosses having a Bible study. And you should come there and listen to protect your people. Well, anyhow, I didn't have to say much after that. I remember Nancy Waldner, girl of about 21, she says, and I'm awful glad that this gentleman, and she says, I don't even know his name, this gentleman is coming on the colony, because 2 weeks ago I trusted Christ as my Savior. And you should have seen the eyes of the minister. They were like saucers. That's an unknown thing. Remember, 460 years ago, that was a common thing. So we have to be very careful we don't get away from the basic, and that is the preaching of the gospel. And so then another stood up, and his name was Sheldon. He wasn't saved, but he says, y'all know I've left the colony. Now, young men do leave the colonies from time to time. They want to try the world. And they feel they're held down on the colony. It's true. You know, when you're on a colony, you don't make a red cent. You own nothing. If you leave a colony, you leave without a job. You leave without transportation, accommodation, and money. Now, you're a father of 5 or 6 children. You're not easily going to leave the colony. But thank God many have left, mostly young people. And so this Sheldon had left the colony for a year. But you know, it's a cultural shock for a Hutterite to be faced with so many decisions. All decisions are done for them. And now when they leave a colony, they have to start paying for everything except the sun that shines and the air you breathe. But everything else you pay for. And they've got to try to make ends meet. After a year, like many others, they return to the colony. They can't adjust to it. He says, you know, he says, I went away with problems up to my neck. And he says, now I'm back again in the colony. I got problems up over my head. But he says, I'm glad there's a man there that will take time with the word of God to show me the way. I'm not saved yet, he said to the minister, but I hope to get saved someday. But anyhow, amongst the colonies, if you see it, God has been working amongst them through these different brethren. And so Marlene says, you want to go over to the Norquay colony. That's near to Portage where we live. And so again, that's a private conversation we're going to have. So I phoned her sister, Katrina and Albert Walder, and I says, I'd like to come over. Yes, we're heard about you. We want you to come. So I came, and after, I don't know how much time I'm going to take, brother, but Paul went on to midnight, so don't you worry. But anyhow, so I says to Albert, I says, I've been over to your brother-in-law, John Gross and Marlene, and they've been talking about you people. Can I come over? You can come over. So I was over on a Tuesday night. And listen, isn't it wonderful? If you go on any colony, there's few radios, but there's no TVs. So that when you come there, it's interesting for them to come as a family. And Albert and Katrina had five children, from 15 down to about 6 years of age. Even the children gathered around. The scriptures were open. You don't have to talk about the weather or the dresses or the fashions or cars. You get right into the Word of God, because these are people, good ground hearers. So, after 2 hours, questions and answers, I prayed with them. I left. I thought with myself, they really listened very reverently, didn't they, to myself. So I generally wait 2 or 3 weeks, not to give the impression we're in a hurry, but we're really in our spirit, a little bit in a hurry. But I waited till Friday, from Tuesday to Friday. And when I went back this time, I don't phone, because the first invitations is final for me. Then I just keep coming back. And you know, my children say, why do you always go to the north country, the cold areas? Well, I says, for one reason, I says, you find the people always home. When it's 30 or 40 below zero, they're not out gallivanting around. And Hutterites are always home. And if they're not home, somebody else is home. And so, boy, was I pleasantly surprised when I came into the room, and on the kitchen, the Bible was opened already, and some of the scriptures were underlined. And so we sat down for another 2 hours, and just before I left, I said to Katrina and Albert, I says, Katrina, what do you think about it all? And all I saw was the eyes flooding with tears. She says, that first visit was enough. My sister and my brother, my sister especially, had laid the foundation. He says, and you made it that clear that I saw my responsibility. And you were no sooner gone than I went into the little room and I says, oh Lord, just take me the way I am. And she says, I trusted Christ. 6 months later, her husband Albert got saved. Then meetings came in Portage. Every year they try to have gospel meetings. And Gaius Goff and Peter Smith were going to be the speakers. I says, well, give me the invitations and we'll go out and visit the colonies and invite the people. And Albert and his wife says, how are we going to get our children to those tent meetings? We're saved and they're not. Remember, nobody owns anything. And if you want a van, you go to the minister. And if you were to say, we would like to use the van to go to tent meetings, it would be a no-no. But they said, well, we want to go to the mall. Oh, that's okay. So into the van they stepped, five children and mom and dad. Of course, the malls have revolving doors, don't they? And so they went in the doors and back to the van and over to the tent. And there they sat right in the front row. On the way out, Albert picked up a God's Way of Salvation just out of interest. And he brought it home, read it, and laid it down. And Lydia was a girl of 13, trouble as well, Gideon, 15. And Lydia says, God's Way of Salvation. She says, that's maybe just what I need. And she took it to her bedroom. Half an hour later, she came out and went into the kitchen and embraced her mother. Says, we're going together. Just got saved. Gideon, standing there hearing that, he says, boy, that's awful easy. All you do is pick up that mysterious tract, read it through once, and 1, 2, 3, you're in the kingdom. And so he read it through twice and nothing happened. See, there's no formal way of getting saved. And so, anyhow, when he came out of the bedroom, Lisa said, now Gideon, and what about it? No, she says, I'm just the same. Oh, she says, then you must be lost. You must be blind if you can't see. I saw it right away. And so it's moved from one calling you to another. There are brethren here that have just come, and I would like to mention the one. Brother Sam Hofer is here. You might see him in a day or two. Anyhow, that whole family at one time, they had a very difficult time. Alana was the very first one of all the people on the colony, a girl of 17. How old are you in the meeting this evening? Have you got convictions? Are you willing to stand for the things of God because of Christ, what Christ means to you? And Lana one day said to her father, Sam, I think it was on a Sunday when the family was together, says, Dad, Mom, says, I love you. But she says, there's another love in my life, and that's the Lord Jesus. And I'll never be able to please him the way I believe I should. I'm leaving the colony. And if I got it correct, and he's in the meeting tonight, the father was stood up from the meal table, and you can understand it if you're a parent. Seems like the family is going to be divided. And so he went into the living room, and I think his oldest boy that was married, Bob, went in after him and says, Dad, I can appreciate your difficulty. But he said these words, we should all be off the colony. We should all be doing what Lana wants to do. And so Lana was the very first one to leave the colonies. And if you go to Portage today, you'll have 30 to 40 ex-Hutterites are sitting down to remember the Lord. And I must say this, because of the faithfulness and the convictions of Lana, a girl of 17, if I got it correct, all the family are breaking bread in the local assembly in Portage. So the work goes on even while we're here. Brother Dave Smith, as I said, has been out to Brandon. And I'll be looking forward to Sunday morning. I'm going to Deep Cove for the morning meeting because there's Hutterites there. And so you've got a little understanding now. The difficulty is leaving the colony because they have no accommodation, no transportation, no money, no job. Yet we have found everyone. I have not heard of one Hutterite that has left the colony or a family that has given the brethren any difficulty. They've made good members of local assemblies. They're into five different assemblies. In Portage, there's quite a few, and Winnipeg as well, and Ashfield, and way over there, Lethbridge, where Steve Kemper has worked. There's quite a number. There's maybe a couple of dozen there. And so God is working, and the gospel is spread. And so I think we've given you a little indication now of what the Hutterites are and how God is working. Thank you very much.